Okay, be well, be well.
Eric, are y'all ready? Ready, Joe? I'm calling to order the Police Judicial and Legal Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council for Monday, May 6th at 10:15. It's good to see everybody here. Our agenda has been published, and item number one is approval of the minutes from the April 1st, 2019 meeting.
So moved.
We have a motion.
We have a second.
They're 25 pages long. I've been through them. That's pretty long for a committee meeting, but I think we have something to fix that. Any discussion of the minutes? All in favor of the minutes as distributed, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Item number two is public comments. We have a good many things on our agenda today, and we ask that everyone who wants to make a public comment, please make it at this period so we can hear all the comments. Otherwise, you might be sitting here for a long time. The clock might run out, and you might have to go somewhere, and what you came to speak about, we didn't get to speak about. I mean, you didn't get to speak to us on. So if you would make your public comments now, you take the lectern. You have 2 minutes, and we need your name and address. So anyone that would like to address this committee publicly, please do so now. Yes, ma'am. And speaking to the – oh, this one. There you go.
Careful.
That one works a little better for
– okay. My name is Janet Zimmer, 129 Cooper River Drive, Mount Pleasant. I'd like to voice my objection to the resolution urging state lawmakers to ratify the ERA. I support equal rights for women, but am opposed to the ERA for its intended and unintended consequences that may end up, in fact, harming women. The ERA would undoubtedly generate countless lawsuits ending up in the Supreme Court before its full impact could be known, but these lawsuits will involve controversial issues like women in the draft, whether women can continue to receive preferential treatment in alimony and child custody cases, government-funded abortions, same-sex universities, trans women inclusion in women's sports, and the list goes on. However, without reaching the merits of the ERA, I object to the town council utilizing its time and resources and those of its constituents to vote on a resolution that not only is the purview of state and federal law, but that also would urge the passage of laws that can only limit the actions you may already take as town officials. You are effectively asking the state and federal government to tell you exactly how to do your job. Moreover, if the ERA and its implementing laws were to pass, the town, its schools, and its businesses, at a minimum, would be faced with new legal compliance costs, new HR policies, processes, increased insurance costs, plus they could end up becoming subject to very controversial and unwanted new requirements, unnecessary lawsuits, and costs. I can assure you that a very sizable percentage of your electorate is vehemently opposed to the ERA. You were elected to govern.
That's 2 minutes. You need to wrap up.
You were elected to govern the town of Mount Pleasant. Please do so responsibly and vote down these extraneous, partisan, controversial, divisive, time and resource wasting, feel good resolutions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next. Public comments come to the lectern, 2 minutes. Name and address, please.
Sure, thank you.
Trip to the lectern. I'm Karen Metzler, 428 Palm Street, just down that way, so I walked. I object to this resolution, and I object to your taking it up because of the forced acceptance of genetic males, and by my understanding, with a very few exception of people who are born with a chromosome deficiency, there is male and female. So I object to the forced acceptance of genetic males in bathrooms, women's bathrooms, women's showers, and in locker rooms. I object to the forced acceptance of genetic males in women's sports. I also object to weight limits for my daughter at work that most men would have. I object to their having the same weight limits of lifting things. I also object to the unlimited access to abortion paid for by the government. And I'm talking about infanticide now. That's where we've come to. It is not the town council's role to debate these matters.
Next.
Hi, I'm Joanne Jones, 1806 Tennyson Row in Mount Pleasant. I wish to voice my opposition to Town Council adopting a resolution in support of state passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. As a woman who spent 30 years in a male-dominated profession, I support equal rights for women, and I applaud the changes that I witnessed over the course of my career. My concerns with the ERA are numerous, but this is not the place to voice them because it simply isn't town business. In that regard, I think it would be imprudent for the town to opine on a state or federal matter without expert legal advice. However, I definitely don't want taxpayer funds wasted on an issue that has nothing to do with governing Mount Pleasant. In recent years, growth, development, and infrastructure have been some of the main concerns that have driven us to the polls. Many of us researched candidates and voted in our municipal elections in hopes that the most qualified would be elected and put their skills and talents towards addressing the issues over which Town Council actually has control and which affect our quality of life. We elected you to govern our municipality, not to waste time and money on an ill-considered resolution that is little more than a feel-good statement. On a final note, for those members of Town Council who were pro-life, it should be noted that the Hyde Amendment would be rendered null upon passage of the ERA, and taxpayers would be forced to pay for abortions. I respectfully request that you table this resolution and get back to the business of running Mount Pleasant.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please.
Anna Ebeling, 2851 Wagner Way, here in Mount Pleasant. I'm starting from a slightly different note. I grew up in the Soviet Union, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm used to things that are called equality, which are not. The only equality, and I'm a woman of career, a retired professor of history here in the American universities, several of them. The only equality I recognize, it's what our founding fathers recognized. Equal rights for all, opportunities based on merit and hard work. And that's what I believe in, and I consider that our town council should not deal with partisan issues. It is not a bipartisan issue. It is an issue of collectivist approach to women. I am a woman. I'm a career woman. I was persecuted against in the Soviet Union because I'm a woman, but I made it because of hard work. And I'm happy to live in the country that recognizes merit, and I do not want to have it any other way. Thank you very much.
Did we get your address? We got the name. Did we get the address? I know we got the name.
2851
Wagner Way.
Got
it.
It's a new one,
not on Google Maps. Roger O'Sullivan, 1551 Ben Sorrio Boulevard. I don't have a lot to say about the ERA resolution all by itself, except to say that we have so many wonderful examples of overreach and judicial activism, and I just mentioned a couple. Title IX for getting the occasional more involvement of women in sports, and look what judicial activism has done. It has totally revolutionized college sports. All the discrimination laws that went through, suddenly we wound up with massive amounts of quotas that lasted for decades until the Supreme Court finally is making some adjustment. My issue with here is that virtue signaling, which is all this is usually left to the individual. A town should not be involved in virtue signaling. I realize that I might be accused of being a chauvinist here, but I'm pleased to see that the other three ladies ahead of me were against it too. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Next, please.
My name is Wendy Dameron, 2419 Wagner Creek Court, Mount Pleasant. I'm 46 years old. I've been a CPA for 22 years. Growing up in the 1970s and 80s, I was never told nor made to feel that there was something I couldn't do or a profession I couldn't choose because I'm a woman. Starting my professional life in the 1990s, I've always been treated with respect and never felt that my work was not valued because I'm a woman. You can imagine my surprise then when we heard we needed to resurrect the ERA. I had no idea all this time that I supposedly did not have equal rights. So I began to do my research. Here are the facts. In 1976, when I was 3 years old, the Supreme Court held that the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause to the Constitution, applies equally to men and women, with the exception that allows women to be excluded from the draft. Thank God for that. So I began to wonder, which right exactly am I missing? I couldn't think of one, so I researched the goals of the modern ERA movement. These are just some of the stated goals I discovered on social media and newspaper editorials. Taxpayer-funded abortion for any reason at any time. No deportation of illegal alien women. Single-payer government health care for all. Equal representation in government. Now, how would this be achieved? Are men going to be forced to step down from their duly elected positions so women can be installed in their places? Biological males being allowed to play in girls and women's sports teams, share lockers and bathrooms with biological girls, and equal pay. The equal pay myth has been debunked decades ago, yet young women are still being told this lie to make them think they're oppressed. Fact, the wage gap is due to choices freely made by men and women. These choices include about profession, the number of hours worked, and amount of time taken out of the workforce to raise children. When a true apples-to-apples comparison is made, the wage gap virtually disappears. The truth is women often willingly and joyfully choose to sacrifice a little bit of their careers to be with their children, and the fact that they are free to make that choice is, if they want, is a good thing. Fact, when you compare childless male and female workers under the age of 30, females actually average $1.08 to every dollar a man makes. In summary, as a woman, not only do you have my permission to reject the ERA, I urge you to reject it. It claims to fix a problem that simply does not exist and could likely have unintended, unforeseen consequences for women and girls, the town of Mount Pleasant, the state of South Carolina, and the country. Frankly, I'm angry that we're having to waste our time on this issue. The town council has much more urgent matters to be addressed at this time. Let's put this to bed and get on with the real business of the town. Thank you.
Thank you. Floor for public comments. Yes, sir, if you'll take the lectern.
On the question of item one on your, pardon me, hay fever, of your agenda, I've studied Robert Hooper Roar for a lot of years, and I probably know 15% of what's in it.
Name and address, please.
I'm sorry, Steve Brock, 34 Hopetown Road, Mount Pleasant. An observation on the use of Roberts, it's often ignored when it isn't convenient and is sometimes misquoted, as it was and when the justification for doing away with verbatim minutes. What it says in Roberts is, in an ordinary society, which you are not, unless the minutes are to be published, which you do, they should contain mainly a record of what was done at a meeting. Our minutes are a history of what's done, the mindset of the people making decisions, and they're the kind of thing that you need to have to really make decisions on reelecting you. But historically, I looked for minutes today for a meeting in 2011, although the number of people that access minutes is irrelevant to their importance. And I present that only one person accessed minutes. It didn't even say which meeting we were talking about. As far as the matter of bringing items to the floor, back up 1 week and talking about the ERA, there's a lot of arguing, a lot of anger about the amount of time taken for that. You had a motion right in front of you. You could have done it all in 5 minutes. It's a motion to discharge a committee. You have to bring it up. It has to be voted on. Then you can either move it to another meeting. You can refuse to take it out of the committee. You can just discuss it right there. That's what I mean about Robert sometimes being ignored. As far as committee meetings, I feel the same way. Their minutes are extremely important because committees are powerful in this town, and limiting the verbatim, it isn't necessarily verbatim, but limiting the amount of information available is important. And I don't care how much it costs. Frankly, public information and what we know about what you do trumps any cost. And if it takes more people, I say trade in the snowplows and hire a few more. But let's limit what can be said on the floor, brought to the floor, or recorded. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Any other public comments? Last call. Public comments. All right, come on up to the podium. Name and address. 2 minutes, please. You got it.
My name is Barbara Fry. I live at 28 Mobile Street in Mount Pleasant. I represent the Equal Means ERA Coalition. We are a group of South Carolina women and men who have come to support equal justice under law through passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. Thank you so much for consideration of this resolution, and hello again. The ERA is necessary to make our Constitution conform with the promise engraved over the entrance to the Supreme Court: equal justice under law. This country and this state have passed many laws to protect women from discrimination, more than you can count. Yet women are still paid less, have higher rates of poverty, experience more violence, are less likely to have security in their own homes, let alone their retirement. We are underrepresented in management levels of business, government, education, clergy, and the most positions of power. And when we ask for that power, we find we do not have the legal footing to attain it. The only remedy to define the legal status of women is to amend the Constitution to protect it. The ERA would provide a solid foundation for that protection by applying a single legal standard to cases of sex discrimination. This standard would be fundamental and universal and would not be open to interpretation or revocation by whichever legislative body or political administration is currently in power. All courts, regardless of jurisdiction, would be obliged to use that single standard in making their rulings. In a state where women struggle to find their voice, where relatively few hold public office, and where high rates of domestic violence are tied to culture, work towards equality must be done. What is good for women is good for families, neighborhoods, communities, and nations. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, public comments. Please come to the lectern. Name, address, 2 minutes.
I'm not going to talk about the ERA. I'm Sarah Jacob. I live at 1152 Village Creek Lane, and I want to speak about the minutes. I may be the only person who looked at the Planning Commission minutes before today.
Okay. Next.
Barbara Griffin, 1282 Hidden Lakes Drive, lifelong voter and your constituent. I'm also co-president of the League of Women Voters of the Charleston area, and I know you are aware that the League of Women Voters has long championed passage of the Equal Rights Amendment. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of Resolution 19042. Personally, I find it a bit demeaning to have to plead for support for my equality under my Constitution in my country. We need to pause and think about that. I believe that equal protection under the law should be the guaranteed birthright of every American citizen. For me, it's really very simple. Concerns, however well-intended, about sports team composition, resolution protocols, all of these pale in comparison against the fundamental core American value of equality. Bills sponsored by Democrats and Republicans have been filed in the State House. Local, town, and county councils are passing resolutions in support. Just last Thursday, the Charleston County Council Finance Committee, which consists of the entire council, unanimously approved support of ratification. And we know that the town council, the city council of Charleston, has already done so. Please do your part. Support this resolution. if for no other reason than on behalf of the 52% majority of the citizens of our town who do not enjoy equal protection under our Constitution. I believe, again, that equal protection is should be the birthright of every American citizen, and that as patriots, we must accept nothing less.
Thank you, ma'am. Next.
Jeannie Felsinger, 960 Scotland Drive, Mount Pleasant. I just want to commend the council for letting this come up at the last meeting of the whole town council. I looked at the recording of it later and was, of course, very disappointed in many of the things that I heard when this came up about equal rights, the ERA. A lot of people in this country are even just totally ignorant that it hasn't already been passed before. Because it hasn't, then each town and state has been quibbling over every little law bit by bit just to make sure there are equal protections. So a lot of time and energy has been wasted when this could have been originally done, and that's why it's coming forth. Now, our state house I can understand how our state representatives may be reluctant to have us support it and send it from here. They don't want to get involved in quibbling over bathroom rights. That is just a big point of confusion, just like other people I know. My husband was in the military for 20 years, and he totally supported women. He was a commander of a ship, and he thinks they are just as qualified. I believe this town has already passed something to support equal rights of employees here. Why can we not support this at the state level? It would lift up this state forever if we were the ones that got 38 that could then support what is happening in Congress right now as they're discussing this at this timely point in our history. It is time to just get this done.
2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Next.
Thank
yes, ma'am. You. If you want to speak, if you want to wait in line, that'll cut down on the transition time.
Good morning, everyone. Kathy Landing, 2114 Seawee Indian Court. My reason for coming up today as a member of the public is, first of all, I don't serve on the PJ&L committee, and secondly, there is a very real possibility, if you vote to do so, that we will be seeing this on our agenda next week. I think you can tell by what we've seen today that this is an emotionally charged subject. And as council members, we have to ask ourselves, why is it so emotionally charged when, as it's been said, it's 24 simple little words? These 24 simple little words missed the deadline of being ratified in 1979, which means it was 40 years ago. And you might think, well, that's because people were antiquated or they didn't think about how things should apply, or maybe they weren't ready for women to have equal rights. The reality of the situation is that this is not a subject that our council should be addressing because it didn't get ratified because of a lot of unintended consequences that were seen. Also, the reality is that if the House wants to take this up and start this process over, which is exactly what's happening right now, in case anybody doesn't realize, it is House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler that is bringing this back up and trying to say we can ratify it way after the fact if we just get the additional states to agree. The fact of the matter is that they really should start this process over. Even the terminology where the word is sex, when do we say that anymore? We say gender nowadays. We want equal rights for everyone. If they had really wanted it to be just as clear as a certain number of simple little words, they could have actually repeated similar terminology as the 14th Amendment. But in fact, there are a lot of unintended consequences way beyond, and it's not about bathroom rights, and it's not about any of that. It's simply not a town council issue. And one last comment is that there are pieces out there in the public right now that there are folks trying very hard to use municipalities essentially as pawns in this debate. I don't think we should be used as pawns, and I don't think we should be doing something that we weren't elected to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
My name is Lisa Buttram. I live at 2052 Presidio Drive. The issue I have here is that equal rights sounds all fine and good, but this is a much more complicated and deep issue. There are many, many, many facets to this. They want to cap as an equal rights amendment issue. You're talking about abortion. You're talking about small children being asked, do you want to be a boy or a girl? There are a lot of things. There is nothing that you guys should be taxed with the decision of making that is incorporated into this. If it was simply just equal rights for women and men as far as their placement in society and their ability to earn wages, that'd be one thing, but it's not. It's a package deal. Nobody wants to talk about how complicated it is. They just want to say, let's make it look like it's supposed to. The city did it. The state did it. The other state. No, that's not what Mount Pleasant's all about. That's not what this country should be all about. So please consider what you're facing and don't make a package deal decision just because everybody else does. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Hello, my name is Magdalene Skirmal, Town of Mount Pleasant. I'm kindly asking this committee to please consider if they truly comprehend what this resolution means and what it supports. The amendment would abolish existing legal distinction between based on sex. Does anybody in this room really believe there is no difference between a man and a woman? By supporting this amendment, you would devalue the role of a woman in humanity and in society. You would devalue what it means to be a homemaker. You would devalue what it means, family life and its whole support system from a woman in this society. Any sex-based distinction in a law would be unconstitutional under the ERA, which would not promote human existence. Love, compassion, and mutual helpfulness. Reality. Is it going to be helpful to a woman not to have facilities segregated? In reality, would it be okay for a woman to be on a naval ship in front of naked men? In reality, is it okay for a woman to choose abortion on demand and infanticide? Is that okay? I'm sorry, but just like I don't feel that I am qualified to make such a decision, are you all qualified to make this decision on the implications that this could have on our society? Think about how this is going to relate to our churches. They say, oh, separation of church and state. But what about when the non-for-profit has to put certifications on record of what they do and they don't do, and then they get denied funding? How is this going to help society for us?
That's 2 minutes, please.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next.
My name is Stuart Kaufman, 1239 Old Course Lane in Mount Pleasant. I just want to remind this committee and everyone else who's within hearing distance, what's happened to our politics today is that we are being played for suckers. Politics is being done in euphemisms. How can you vote against equal rights? An equal rights amendment, by definition, is something that's sacred. However, it's not equal rights, it's discrimination. Plus, as you heard someone just say a few minutes ago, what would happen is that we would eliminate all of these judges coming in and making disparate decisions based upon a non-uniform standard. In fact, what this would do is open up a plethora of litigation in every state and every municipality in the union. And it would cause incredible confusion, and it would create much more difficulties that we have now for no good reason. But primarily, I just want to say, don't be suckers. Just because it says Equal Rights Amendment doesn't mean that you need to say yes to it, especially in your capacity as local leaders. We have no business dealing with this. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else before we move on in our agenda? Okay, the actual discussion of that does not come up, where's that, until 5B. So we will be discussing that when we get to that point in the agenda. This will close out item number two, and we will move on to item number three, police matters, employee years of service recognition. Chief Ritchie.
Yes, sir. Mayor, committee members, thank you for this opportunity. I'm here to recognize Detective Rhett Stafford for 5 years. Rhett may or may not be here right now. I don't know. No, honestly, he's an undercover detective, and that's why I said he may be here. You may not know.
He couldn't come in with a blue dot, maybe?
No, sir, I do want to recognize him, but in his capacity as an undercover officer, it's important that we maintain that integrity. He's currently working very closely with several state and federal agencies in our opioid war. And his work with the other detectives here has been very successful in handing down numerous indictments in our war on the opioid crisis. So we will recognize him internally at one of our meetings with the police department. And I spoke to him this morning briefly as he was getting off from working undercover in operation last night. But that's why he's not here. But I do want to recognize Detective Rhett Stafford for his 5 years of hard work with this police department. And I know many more. So thank you, sir.
All right. Item number four, judicial matters. There are no agenda items. Item number five, legal matters. Review of a proposed ordinance regarding the addition of items to town council agendas. Mr. Paglarini.
Yes. Good morning, Mayor's member of council and this committee. We'll put up the proposed language for the amendment, and for historical purposes, the question presented in the last 2 months and what was brought back last month was the specific matter of placing items on our council agenda. And the discussion last month centered on how to do that. And specifically, of course, at this time, any council member can put any matter on an agenda. And the discussion last month focused on requiring some stopping point, some element of a matter going through committee before it gets to council. So what you'll see here is the underlying provisions would be added. The strike through, of course, would be stricken. And the gist of it is that any individual council member or more than one has to request from the committee chairman for a matter to be placed on a committee agenda. And the committee chair can review it and either respond in the negative, positive, or I assume not respond at all. And only if there is a triggering mechanism can the matter go directly to council agenda without passing through a committee. The standard, and I believe committee asked this last month, related to emergency matters, which we've called exigent circumstances, is that is already defined in our code. And one of the struggles we had as staff was, well, who and when gets to decide whether it's an exigent circumstance? Is that placed on the council, on the committee chair or whoever? So we thought utilizing our existing South Carolina code was the best mechanism to do that. And so if an item were to make it to council and the committee structure was bypassed, council could certainly vote to send it back down to committee based on the lack of exigent circumstances, or in the alternative, decide whether exigent circumstances exist. So that's in it in a nutshell. You have any questions?
What we have right now is that any council member has the privilege of putting any item on the full council agenda for any reason as long as they meet the time deadline. It could be decrying the sighting of UFOs, for all we know. You can put anything on there that you want to put on there with no committee work, no background, no anything. And there are times when we get our agenda on Fridays and there's something placed under council new business we had no idea was going to be on there. We have no background on it. I'll give you an example. Last month, Councilman Santos, if you don't mind me pointing this out, this committee had voted to bring this ERA resolution back to this committee, and the councilman put it on the full council agenda, even though this committee had voted to bring it back to do exactly what we did today, was to hear from the maximum amount of citizens we could and what the ramifications were. And this is a prime example of what the committee work is supposed to do. We make informed decisions. We should not rush things just to get them through, or rush them so that they're in the public spotlight at a council meeting when they're just as public at a committee meeting. It's every bit as much a public meeting. And so we're trying to get some sense of logic to this, because it's better for the public and it's better for the council that we do our homework before something is put on there to be voted on, because then it's done. Once it goes to council, unless it's something that involves a first reading, and then then if that's an ordinance, there's actually a prescribed process for that. So I'm a fan of this. It does not mean that any committee chairman can keep you, if you have something, can keep you from getting something to council. It just means you have to ask first for it to be put on the committee agenda. And if you're stonewalled for some reason, then you can take it to the full council. And then if something gets on there and full council doesn't like it, I think it's our job to say, hey, we're not ready to vote on this. We don't know, you know, our facts. This won't be an informed decision. Send it back to committee. So I'll open this up to the committee. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to just make clear why I did that. We had it. It did come to the committee. People had an opportunity to show up. It was published in the minutes that we were going to be talking about it. People showed up. They talked about it. Unfortunately, all of our council members didn't have an opportunity to talk about the issue before, and so I wanted it to be placed on council, because we should never be afraid to be out in front of the public talking about any issue. And they didn't have a chance to talk about the issue at the time, and I thought it was wise to have it on our council agenda so that they could talk about it if they wanted to, or send it back to committee, which we've done. So anytime that there's an opportunity to get full council's ideas on things, I think it's prudent to put it on the council agenda. So that's why I did it.
Well, it could have been voted on and passed at our April meeting without all of the feedback that we got today, and I think that's a risk that I don't want to take.
Well, once again, though, it's published. Folks know what's going to be going on, and if they care, they'll come out and talk about it. So it's not like we do it undercover where people don't know what's going on. We publish these, and so you see everybody's here right now, right, because it was published. Well, it was published for the council meeting as well.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to clarify, does this still, because I'm reading this, it seems like if something dies in committee, that then the council member doesn't have the opportunity to bring it to full council. Is there a way to include language? Because I think that our councils are very, our committees are just a small subset of the council. They're not a full quorum of council. And so something may not pass muster in committee, but could achieve success in front of full council. And the way that I read this, it seems like you have to go through committee. And if committee doesn't send it to full council, there's no opportunity to bring it to full council.
That's a great question. It's something we've thought about, as evidenced by the conversation that the two gentlemen just had. The only requirement is that it is on a committee agenda. Whether committee moves it forward, doesn't move it forward, and we can clarify the language if that's how you read it, we certainly will. But the intent is that as long as it is on a committee agenda and heard at committee. Now, there are a number of other items. For example, what if it gets to committee and there's no discussion and it's simply, say, for time purposes, we have that happen, let's move it to next month. Then the matter would not actually be heard. There would be no discussion on it. So I absolutely agree with the way at least the concerns that you have about it. But all this provides is that it's on a committee agenda and the matter is addressed at that committee, regardless of any votes.
Yeah, I just would want it to be clarified and to be clear and maybe include a sentence in there that regardless of the outcome at committee, that a council member still has the opportunity to bring it to full council.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that's been the intent.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. It's just not how I read it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I believe it's very important for all the topics, and there are a lot of reasons that topics are put on the full council agenda. And oftentimes it's kind of a gotcha. And then you have to go through discussing a topic which few of the council members know anything about. So it's it is better to have every topic go through a committee and come to full council so that everyone can be prepared to discuss it rather than sending it back and forth. And that's what that causes, not having it go through the committee. That's what it causes. So I would like to see everything go through a committee, and if the system is that even if it fails in committee or doesn't get discussed, you know, someone can bring it forth to a full council meeting, I think that's fine. But I think if at all possible, it should go through a committee first.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So what if an issue comes up after committees meet and it's something that we need to put on the agenda for council that citizens want us to vote on? What happens then?
Go ahead.
I think that would fall under the exigent circumstances.
Yes, sir. And just to be clear, exigent circumstances is a high standard, mm-hmm. not, and to answer your question, sir, it is not a matter of whether it's wanted. It's fairly an emergent situation, meaning there has to be characteristics that require some sort of action by council. So it is a very high standard as it's currently written.
Well, I guess my question also is for that council member who it might be urgent for that council member or another one council member, but not for others. So how do you decide?
Sure, and that's I alluded to that a little earlier, and I'll clarify it. The code section referred, the South Carolina Code Section 30-4-80A, really provides a scenario where if there's no determination or it's a question, it gets placed on the agenda, and then council really has to have a procedural vote whether it meet exigent circumstances or not. And, you know, that's if you're asking me, if it can't be worked out any other way, that's the ultimate resolution right there. Council would have to decide whether it's an exigent circumstance, so it's a majority decision there. Of course, our hope is, you know, that could be resolved through discussion prior, but that would be the ultimate resolution.
If I may ask a question. So just because a council member feels passionately about something and wants it brought up on the agenda, I mean, you could put something on Thursday and the meeting's on Tuesday, but exigent circumstance has to do with more than how somebody feels about something, right?
Yes, sir. That's right.
There has to be a deadline or, you know, it might involve an event coming up or something like that for which once it passes, it's gone. But it's not just because...
Sure. Right. And historically, I don't have a precise memory, but issues that have arisen, whether it's budgetary or whether it is something related to maybe grants that we have a deadline,
right.
That those matters have arisen in this one-week period between committees and council, or really a week and a half, would you consider the deadline for placing a matter on committee. So those issues have cropped up before.
So we would need a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept what Mr. Pagliarini has offered to change the rules of order.
And subject to the comments by Ms. Whitley as far
subject
as clarification.
Subject to comments, Ms. Whitley clarifying, bring things up after the agenda.
Yes,
second. All right, we have a motion and a second. Let me make sure I got this right. This is, we would be accepting the changes to Section 3035 rules of order.
Correct. And just for so everyone's aware and the public's aware, up until last month, this was Section 30.34, but it was changed numerically by our comprehensive change to our plan. But, yes, sir, 30.35.
Okay. And then subject to insertion of language.
Clarifying that the matter only be addressed by committee and not necessarily dependent on any favorable vote.
Does that satisfy what we were talking about? Okay. Any further discussion? All right, all in favor of the motion as stated, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
All right, by 3-1 vote, the motion passes. Thank you. All right, that was item 5A. This is item 5B, consideration of a resolution supporting the Equal Rights Amendment in South Carolina Bills H3391 and 3340. Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
So this issue was brought to me by the League of Women Voters, which is a nonpartisan organization here in the town. And it is a simple statement of support of the concept of equal rights for women. It's not, there are no far-reaching, you know, it does not guarantee, there's nothing in there that guarantees taxpayer-funded abortions. There's nothing in there that says that, you know, we can't have women's sports and men's sports. It is simply a statement that under the law we will not discriminate on the basis of sex. So this is a resolution that has been passed in Charleston. It has been passed in Columbia. It has been passed most recently by the Charleston County. And it is also, you know, something that our council has done in the past. We have issued resolutions on offshore drilling, which is a federal issue, on hands-free driving, which is a state issue, and most recently the firefighter cancer bill issued a resolution in support. It's something that towns do all the time to show their support for something. So for me personally, this is something that I support, and I would like to move it forward to the full council for Tuesday.
Is that a motion?
Sure, I'll put that full motion to move to full council for Tuesday.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All right. I have two things I want to read. I've contacted our legislative delegation. I do want to clarify one thing. This is not just a resolution supporting equality. This is a resolution supporting two bills in the state legislature of South Carolina. So we are supporting what those bills say. And if we support those bills by that number as filed, we will be on record of supporting those bills in their final iteration as well. So we have 8 legislative delegation members representing Mount Pleasant, 5 in the House, 3 in the Senate. The first person that I got a message from, she couldn't be with us today, is from Representative Nancy Mace, who I'm sure everyone's familiar with. And this is what she says. This bill is dead for this session. Crossover was on April 10th, so there is absolutely no way it passes this year. This may be offensive to some women because it naturally implies women don't have equal rights. It is 2019 and women do have equal rights under the 14th Amendment. This legislation also doesn't take into consideration some of the collateral damage or unintended consequences it might have, and she lists some that were stated today. And it could eliminate child support for women, and it may require women to be drafted. There are serious concerns. This legislation may also grant more powers to the federal government than was intended in our Constitution, and I believe in separation of powers and a balance of power in our country. If we want to look at the need for equal rights for women, look no further than a country like Saudi Arabia, who recently jailed a woman for 38 years for simply removing her head covering. And then Representative Lee Hewitt said, who was copied on her letter, said, I'm in agreement with Representative Mace. The bill is dead for the year. In fact, in checking the website, there has been no activity since the bill was filed. While I have not personally formed an opinion on the bill, I want to see if what comes out of the committee process, want to see what comes out, and I am certain the bill will be different than the original bill. So one concern of this and the timing of this now is that the whole town of Mount Pleasant, if this is passed by town council, will be giving its stamp of approval of a bill that one of our own legislative delegation members has said will change over time. And so I'm very wary of endorsing the bill when we don't know what the final will look like. The other thing I would like to say is that on the things that are mentioned about offshore drilling, that have been mentioned about other things, we normally contact our legislatures when we are trying, when the government is doing things that reach down. We are reaching up and telling our state legislators how to vote to amend the Constitution of the United States of America. And I ran for council once, I was in a runoff once, and I was in a very heated mayor's race, and not one person ever asked me then or now how I feel about amending the Constitution of the United States. I was not sent here to do that. I was sent here to control growth, to fix drainage, and to fix traffic in those orders. And I don't think that what we heard today is that our citizens necessarily chose us or selected us based on our merits of where we stand on constitutional amendments. We endorse unanimously non-discrimination laws in our town for gender, for anything. And those are on the books now. Mr. Pagliarini, if I'm not mistaken, we have non-discrimination laws in our town on on employment, on rental property, on being hired by the town. So I don't want anybody to think because we at the lowest level of government aren't sitting here trying to be constitutional experts that we're not against discrimination. We passed those that months ago. These bills are dead this year, and not one of our legislative delegation, and there are eight of them, has encouraged us to do this as they have on other things because they felt like it was not in the best interest of the town of Mount Pleasant for the state to endorse offshore drilling or those type things, and they knew where we stood on that. And so I think reaching up to national issues, as you saw today, is going to divide our town. Our job is to unify our town. I don't know who on council is a Democrat. I don't know who's a Republican. I don't know who's an independent or a Green Party member. But I know who got elected because of where they stand on growth, on town budgets, on all the things that we do as a local government. And I think if we open the floodgates of virtue signaling and all that, then we're going to be sitting here on Second Amendment rights, on immigration policy, on global warming, on all of these things. And I don't think that's what people want us to spend our time doing. So I will not support this going to council. I would support us tabling it. You know, if you want to have this debate when it finally sees the light of day in the legislature, then we can do this all over again. I would prefer that we just not take a stance on it. It's not our purview. And one of our representatives, Representative Cogswell, said not only is this not our lane, this isn't even the road we need to be driving on. So I would ask that the motion be rescinded. And we just table this because we run the risk. I'm sure if Mount Pleasant decides not to vote on this, word will get out that Mount Pleasant's someplace of discrimination or something. We don't take comments from the floor. This is during council debate. No, ma'am? That's right. And he told us not to weigh in on this. So I would ask that the motion be withdrawn because I think we're going to damage our town. We're going to divide our population. And if you feel strongly about that, contact your representative as an individual. I had a member, four-year member of the South Carolina Senate, who's now a judge for the town of Mount Pleasant, said these kind of resolutions on something that's not even up for debate will have no effect whatsoever on the legislation. So I would ask that the measure be rescinded, and we just leave this alone, please. Yes, sir, Mr.
Yeah, and since last month to this month, I've gone through and read and studied and done some things, to educate myself on this because it seemed simple at first, but it's not simple. As a matter of fact, the United States government has been wrestling with this for nearly 100 years, and since 1921. And if all those folks at the national level and state level can't find a path forward to it, I think coming to the Mount Pleasant Town Council and having 1 month is just an impossible task, and I don't think it's a fair task for a town council to be discussing. Also, as I said last month, we are nonpartisan, the town of Mount Pleasant. It's nonpartisan.
Excuse me.
The election is nonpartisan, so I don't feel that we should start inserting partisan politics into town business. It will lead to division, and we don't have the wherewithal to discuss these things, and it would spend too much time. I agree with the mayor. The pressing issues we have are traffic, growth management, and making sure that our town is properly cared for and that we move forward. So I abstained from voting last time because I felt it simply is not something that we should be voting on. And I also wish that, Jim, that you would withdraw this motion because this is going to continue in this manner
May I ask just for a point of clarification to Ms. Whitley, a sponsor of this motion? If this were to fail, do you plan on putting on the agenda anyway, the council agenda?
Yes.
Okay. So the vote in here really is of no consequence.
I think we should hold the vote in here and see how it goes.
Okay. Any other debate? All right, so the motion is not in support of the ERA, but the motion is actually, the wording of it is to pass this resolution to the full council. So
yes.
we're not actually voting on that. We're voting on whether to pass this to the full council or not. Are we prepared to vote?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So this is, oh, I'm sorry. So this vote is not whether or not it supports the resolution, but whether or not it supports moving it to full council.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Okay, those in favor of the motion to pass this to full council signify by saying aye.
Aye.
There's two. Those opposed?
No.
And one abstention. May I ask the parliamentarian, with two votes, which is not an affirmative majority of the committee, does the resolution pass or fail?
I understand there's two for, one against,
and one abstention.
Since we have a quorum, that would mean that it passes.
It passes, so it will be passed to full committee, to full council, which would be the second Tuesday of the month. So all of you who came out and spoke tonight, you may want to put it on your calendar to come out and speak again. Mr. Santos?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I just want to make clear, my vote was not whether I'm for it or against it. It was once again to pass it up to full council so that full council can weigh in. I think that's how our government needs to work, is having all of the elected officials be able to weigh in on it. So I'm not saying I'm for it. I'm saying that I want to pass it on to full council so that we can make a decision as a whole. A committee should not be able to stop something to go to full council. We should always be able to go to full council on anything.
So it will be on council's agenda for the second Tuesday of this month. What's the date? Next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow.
14th.
The 14th of June. No, I mean May. 14th of May. 6 o'clock, council chambers. All right. Item 5C, consideration of a quit claim deed for any town interest in lot 19 Fulton subdivision. I'm sure this won't ignite the passion as the ERA amendment, but you're welcome to stay and listen if you'd like.
I can only wish, Mayor. This is a minor matter. In 2015, the town was granted a portion of a lot in this subdivision, and the neighbor, who is J.A. Lending, reviewed the title and felt that there is a minor question about whether the town owns part of their private drive. It is simply a cleanup matter. The town has no legal interest in this lot 19. All they're asking for is a quit claim deed, which avows that we don't have an interest. We've done the search. We do not. In fact, it's my recommendation that we remove all doubt and any liability that the town may or may not have and grant a quit claim deed to this lot, any interest that the town might have, even though we don't. So that's the long
motion
short
to approve as described by council.
Second.
We have a motion to approve. And we have a second. Does anybody have any questions about this? All right. All in favor of the motion to approve the quit claim deed for any town interest in lot 19 of Fulton subdivision signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Item 5D, review of legal department expenditures. We are in our budget season at the town, and last month this committee deferred voting on our budget. There's a sizable amount of money in this that involves contracts for services, outside services, and because of the nature of it, it really does not get the same type of review that others do, and at least three of us up here wanted some further scrutiny of this. I think we have a handout, is that right, that everybody got?
That's correct, and I can bring it up on screen.
Okay.
So we're all looking at the same thing. If you just give me a moment. Thank you, Martine.
Did you just get in? I mean, you just got in?
Okay. And you may recall this was a document I had sent out to each of you last week. This is the budget for 2019 proposed. It's in your budget book is broken out in much greater detail than this, but this is kind of how it all gets summarized. The reason why I included this document is that it requested by a committee at an earlier time, you wanted to see the breakdown between the in-house counsel, which we had when Alan Young was here several years back, and contractual counsel. The FY 2019 is what's in your proposed budget. But essentially, it all breaks into a couple categories, salaries and benefits being the first. That lists the three town employees that we have on the payroll in-house. That's our prosecutor and two legal assistants. That section also includes, as stated, benefits. Legal fees includes items that are outside the routine representation of our contracted counsel. You're familiar with the contract. That's at the $185 rate. That is directly attributed to how much we get sued. So I think that line item goes up and down based on the amount of activity. I should point out that under legal fees, that's also the amount that an area that is beyond the two full-time employees, contracted employees that we have. So if some of that work under legal fees can be done within their 80 hours, it gets done. Anything beyond that and anything that falls under that category, including all things represented in front of a court or agency, fall into that line item. So that one can have the most fluctuation. The third row is contractual services, and we list that in full detail in the proposed budget that you have. But that's where you'll find our contract for legal representation. You'll also find the contract for our part-time prosecutor that assists, you know, Mr. Grossman down the municipal court. And so that's how it shakes out. Happy to answer any questions that you have. Let me see if there are other points. I'm looking now at the fiscal year 20, the proposed budget for next year, to see if I left something out here. I know we reviewed this last month.
Excuse me, can somebody ask them to please lower the noise level in the hall, please? Thank you. They can move down the hall.
I should say what is also included in legal fees are things that support litigation, experts in different fields, forensic accountants, CPAs, industry experts, other disciplines that are required to litigate a case is included in that second row of numbers there under legal fees. And with that being said, sir, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Okay, a couple of things. The law firm that we now hire, there was a RFP in the year 2011. And the same firm has been representing the town now for 8 years, going on 9 years, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. When is the last time that there was ever an RFP put out?
It would have to be during 2011.
2011.
The contract has been extended with the same firm since.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the same firm has had this without competition for almost a decade, is that correct?
Since 2011.
Since 2011. Okay. I have the chart here. It has the legal department budget for 2018, 2019. I don't know if everybody has this or it was handed to me.
Let's see. Yes, that is on another slide. Can we bring up that other presentation? This was the second document that I had sent to you on Friday.
Okay. The question I have is, this says that the portion allocated for corporate counsel is $548,500. Mm-hmm. And what we just saw was considerably less than that. And then on this comparison that we have between our municipality and the others, Town of Mount Pleasant, on this one,
it's that one.
It comes in and it says $853,500.
Sure.
The number given in the budget thing is
$1,224,000. That's on page 5 of this. So I'm not sure what the disparity in that is.
Let me go to the page. You're on the summary, sir?
Yes, sir. Summary by population.
Okay, that appears to only include the contract rate for that year and outside litigation. So that number would not include the total for the department is over $1.2 million, but that includes right. All costs associated with 3 internal staff members.
Okay. So to compare apples to apples for that, whereas we're listed at 853 for that, would it not be better to have the 1.2 million, which is our whole legal budget?
You could, sir. Yes.
Okay. Do y'all have that? I'm not sure the rest of the committee has that number.
Just for clarification, all the other jurisdictions were carved out as well, so their prosecutors were not included. So I would say it is an apples to apples comparison. Because if you were to include prosecutors for Charleston, Columbia, North Charleston, their numbers would go up.
Okay. And on page 3 of this, we see that the total budget is $1.2 million. The portion allocated for corporate counsel is $548,500. Does that mean that much money goes to the law firm?
Let me go back and look, sir. Let's see here.
In other words, when we use the word corporation counsel, are we referring to the Henchy Murray Paglarini law firm? Anytime we see that, is that correct?
I would say so. Sort of by extrapolation here, I have to believe that is their contract cost plus their non-routine representation amount.
Right. And then any other representation is over and above that. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then additional budget for $220,000 for litigation for outside counsel matters relating to ongoing litigation. Mm-hmm. So we pay the $548,500 to our law firm, our corporate counsel, and then $220,000 to other lawyers that we hire for special situations.
That would be right.
I'm just going down the budget. And then we pay a legal secretary cost of $85,185. That's what the town of Mount Pleasant is providing in terms of legal. This is mentioned as legal secretary, whether that's the
yes. The
actual job description or not. So we're paying the $85,000 for that. That's Sheriff's front duty desk as receptionist. We're paying $220,000 for outside counsel, and we're paying $548,500 to our corporate counsel. I just want to make sure I've got all this right.
Well, I'm comparing numbers here, sir. We're going litigation fees.
Up to 20?
That's right. That's the same number I mentioned before. That's the one that is entirely dependent on how much we get sued.
Right.
That's the 185 non-routine representation. That's right.
Okay. I can still hear out there. I'm sorry. That's very distracting. All right, so just for comparison's sake, $548,500 plus $220,000 is about $770,000.
It may be. I need to clarify with David. David, on the litigation fees, the $220,000 number, does that include other attorneys that are brought in?
My understanding, sir, is our contract is our contract. That's the four number. Anything else is outside for when counsel is hired outside counsel or outside counsel is necessary, plus cost expenses and all of those various items.
Everything in total. Okay.
Okay. So if, depending on the numbers I've been given, $548,500 plus $220,000, that's $768,000 to either our attorneys or outside attorneys.
That's what it showed for that year.
Okay.
That's right.
So $768,000 in basically just attorney fees, not counting overhead, secretaries, solicitor, public defender. Anything. I'm just talking about what we're paying to attorneys who are giving legal advice, handling lawsuits, those things, $768,000.
The only
stipulation I would give is that the $220,000 number is well, but it's well, frankly, if we weren't in as many lawsuits as we are, that number wouldn't be as high. So you have the contracted rate, which is what we pay them every year, and then whatever shakes out for that year is put into that number. That's the 220 number.
Okay, thank you. And then since this contract was awarded in 2011, we're now covered in all of our land use litigation under a insurance policy that provides another lawyer that handles those. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, please explain that. Please.
We have had two different policies, Your Honor. Initially, there was a more limited land use policy that we received initially that provided a certain breadth of coverage.
Okay.
It didn't. We looked to expand that coverage and received a second and current policy, which gives us some things and takes away some things,
okay,
as the insurance company is apt to do. Some of the things that we were receiving coverage for, or at least coverage in the old definition, was an allowance for attorney's fees and for expenses. What they're in limited sense now, they're providing not only attorney's fees, but they are providing some level of coverage for certain stated events. Those stated events will differ year to year depending on what the policy states. So that it's in some of the areas that we were receiving coverage on before for counsel fees, we're bare on now. So they don't allow any attorney's fees, and they've never provided any coverage for awards. For example, on administrative issues that get in front of a circuit court, in past years, we received the benefit after we negotiated that additional insurance coverage. We received the benefit of payments from our insurance carrier to offset the costs, so we didn't have to pay any of those expenses. Now we have to pay those expenses, and to some extent, they're now reflected in the budget for outside counsel. Parenthetically, not all instances where outside counsel is retained is it our law firm that is receiving the fees. There are other law firms that are within that that category as well. But as far as insurance coverage is concerned, at least at this moment, we have a coverage that will provide some. It basically, what it does is removes the exclusion for land use coverage. Before, regardless of the cause of action, whether it was negligence, it was breach of contract will never be covered, but if all different species of causes of action, if it involved land use, regardless of what the nature of the claim was, they excluded coverage simply saying that's land use. So we were able to get that changed. Now it depends on the cause of action as opposed to the subject, just like it does with all other claims that we have. So what precisely it will do from year to year depends on, as Mr. DeMora said, how many times we get sued and the nature of the claims that are made against us.
Do these municipalities that we're looking at, Charleston, Columbia, Greenville, Charleston County, do they have policies similar to that?
No, not all of them. Some, I'm not sure which ones you're looking at, but City of Charleston, City of Columbia, who else do you have in front of you?
We were given Charleston, Columbia, North Charleston.
I'm not sure, Dana, do you know whether North Charleston is SMERF or IRF?
They're IRF. Well, they're actually self-insured.
Okay. I know that City of Charleston is IRF, and City of Columbia is IRF, and I think City of Greenville is IRF.
Okay, tell us what that means.
Insurance Reserve Fund.
Okay.
They're just a different carrier. We're
and So in other words, does that kick in and pay legal fees like ours? I'm just trying to see what we have similar and what we have different.
We reached out to the IRF when we were trying to shop coverage, and they weren't providing the same level of coverage. They didn't want to provide the same level of coverage that the Municipal Association agreed to provide us. We haven't looked out to them this past year because we're still trying to work with the Municipal Association to improve our coverage every year, which ironically, as we improve our coverage, we're trying to limit what we get so that we can, by improving the coverage, we're trying to have the our insurance carrier accept more responsibility.
Okay.
But I don't know right now whether the Insurance Reserve Fund has changed that policy. When we asked them if they would, because we're interested in a competing bid, when we asked them if they would fashion a policy that would be similar to what the Municipal Association was giving to us so that we could compare the cost, they said they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to get into that land use area. But that was a year ago.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. Thanks, sir.
You're welcome.
I think part of the discussion, and if you leave that chart up there, you know, we used to have in-house attorneys, and now we pay one law firm. And as I understand the in-house model or general counsel model, you have your staff, people who work for the town, probably for counsel, as the Municipal Association said is the preferred way, but however they do it. And then as specialty situations arrive, they pick a specialist and you're paying for outside counsel as these others are doing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I just wanted us to look at this, and this is what's on this part of the agenda, is discussion in the form of legal representation. I think we need to have that discussion. And I think part of that is to look at the contract. And I would ask this question. Other contracts, like when I chaired public services, I know we had a large landscape contractor that was doing the medians on Johnny Dodds. Big contract. How often are those contracts put out for bid? How often is there competitive bidding or some type of competition to make sure the town is getting the best deal?
Well, we do four things like that every couple years. Usually okay. 4 to 5 years. Usually it's a 3-year term, maybe with a 1 year, 2 1-year rollovers or something like that, but roughly every 5 years.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I've been here going on 20 years. I was able to serve when we had in-house counsel. Alan Young did a very good job. He's been around for a long time. He would call and help when he needed it, like Francis Cantwell and some of them. I remember those days. And I've been able to serve with the current council. And really, I see absolutely no difference in the two. I think we get great representation in either one, whether it's in-house or whether it's the forum we have right now, which is my opinion.
Okay. We have on the agenda that we may go into executive session for the discussion of a contractual matter, discussion of contracts for legal representation. The chair would entertain a motion for that.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? If the vote is successful, we will be going into executive session for the discussion of contracts for legal representation. And post-executive session, the committee may take action on any item, including any subsection of any section listed on an executive session agenda or discussed in an executive session during a properly noticed meeting. All in favor of entering to executive session, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are in executive session. Do we go to the break room or some other room?
The break room is great. And okay. What staff would you like? Do you need any staff?
We would need you, okay. Yes.
that we recommend the full council consideration of changing the form of representation to general counsel, and that would be next fiscal year.
Beginning
next fiscal year.
Second.
We have a motion and we have a second. Yes, sir.
I think the next fiscal year is July 1, 2019.
True.
Okay. I'll amend that to fiscal year 2020.
Second.
We have a motion and we have a second.
sir, to recommend. Forgive me. It's a fiscal year. Fiscal year 2021. I think is the. Based on summarizing what I heard before, unless I had it wrong, you're saying is July 1st of 2020 is the year.
Next year.
Right.
Fiscal year 20. Beginning of next, it'll be 2020 going into 2021.
Right. Fiscal year 2020 is the coming one. You're really talking fiscal year 2021, which begins July 1st, 2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the process of the changeover.
2020.
Okay.
The intention is the...